going to start off by talking about how we did this Halloween video because, hey, it's pretty funny. We're also going to talk about the results of it, positive and negative. And I'm going to talk about how we filmed it because doing promotions in your business is part of what these A-Team calls are about. Now, let's discuss how you do video, because you're seeing a lot of people do video today, and frankly, a lot of people are doing fairly sophisticated video and not revealing how they do it because, I'll just be honest, they want to be perceived as the guru, and they really don't want to reveal those things, those tricks, because it makes them look like better than everybody else if they can shoot cool video and nobody else can. By the way, if you have a big noise in the background and stuff, press star 6 to mute it out. I'll tell you what, though, I'm going to go ahead, though, and mute while I'm talking just for safety purposes. Let's see. All right, we are on mute. Okay, so we're talking about Halloween, and we shot this video. Now, it's not that hard. Gentlemen, I assume we're going to have ladies by recording. God, we're only like 5 calls in. I've already scared all the women off. That's just crazy, isn't it? let's see. So here's how we shoot the video. We have 2 light boxes, one on each side. I'm going to explain what a light box is. And the light boxes, I think, are $175 each, but if you buy 2 of them, I think you get a break on that. We buy those from tubetape.com. TubeTape.com. They ship them to you, and actually not too large of a box, and you just assemble them. Not that hard to do. And so you're into it probably $250 or $300 for the 2 light boxes, but I highly, 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 highly recommend the light boxes. Number 2, you have the curtain in the background. Not curtain. It's like a we have 2 tall metal stands with a piece of a connection between them, and then you just drape down your green screen, or in this case we're using a black, I forget the name of the cloth, but this black material, and they also have white. I want to get the white because the black is a pain to shoot against, because if anybody's wearing black, like the Black Ninja in the Halloween video, you can't see them very good. Fortunately, the Black Ninja suit we bought had gold stuff on it, so you could actually see Danny some. All right, so we have... Now, the stands and that material on them are not particularly expensive. I don't remember how much we paid for the 2 metal stands and the material, but it's not particularly expensive. And you get all that stuff at tubetape.com. Now, you want the light boxes. You put 1 light box on each side. Now, if you're filming indoors and you're getting much light through the windows, you've got to put a piece of material over the windows to block it out, because sunlight and then the light that's emanated by these light boxes don't mix very well. Now, when you buy the light boxes, there are 2 kinds of light you can get. One is you can get the, let me see what they call it. I think they call it a fluorescent. And then the other one is, there's another name for it, but it's the regular lighting. Now, the regular lighting is brighter but burns hot. That's what we got, but it burns brighter. The fluorescent burns cool, and you can shoot the video longer. But the light's not as bright, and you may need additional light boxes. So we went with the 2 light boxes and the brighter light, whatever it's called. Now, on the video camera, Sean has a high-def camera, and the video that you see there at marlinsetters.com/Halloween would have been higher quality if we used Sean's HD camera. But in this case, we just used a 3-chip, I think Panasonic, same one we talk about at vblogsecrets.com. By the way, I mean, almost everything we talk about at Vblog Secrets is still 100% relevant, because the thing is that the 3-chip camera, so the older one, it uses the tape, but the tape is fine, and the reason is because it doesn't compress. The HD is cool and probably provides a higher quality, but it does also compress the video, so you can lose some quality from that, and then some computers may not be able to edit the HD video footage. And some software can't handle it either. So just your old $250 video camera, new, off of eBay, probably hardly anything is fine. The other thing you need is a tripod stand for the video camera, not any big deal. And the last element is we did get a really trick mic, and we have a picture of that mic in promo dashboard. I don't remember how much that mic was. The mic's probably about as expensive as anything. It wasn't too bad. I think it's probably $150, maybe more. It just sits on the ground and points up, and it's a directional mic that's unbelievable. It's like the ones that the people use on the interviews when you see them holding out those big long mics. That's the kind of mic. It's awesome. It's totally awesome because it only catches the sound at the direction you're pointing it. And you just set it on the ground on this little stand and point it up, and, man, you're good to go to shoot the video. That's all there is to the video. So you see the videos of people sitting on a sofa, and you don't really – and it looks like, oh, I could do that just in my home or something. No, 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 no. You've got to have the lights. Because without it – without the lights, it's really lighting is so difficult. The light boxes, though, are not hard to set up. And it's really cool because they come in a carrying case, and you can just pack them up. And everything basically comes in a carrying case. You can pack it up and carry it around. Now, the stands that I mentioned, you can put the black or the white cloth, whatever they call that material, that you can also put a green material back there or blue. The green allows you to shoot what's called green screen. The nice thing about shooting against the black or the white is you don't have to edit it. If you shoot against the green, then you got to go in and drop out the green and then put in whatever background you want, the ocean or whatever. But that's a higher level skill. It tends to be time consuming to do that. And like, why? You know, mostly you're shooting promotions, so you just want the white or the black. I'm going to get the white. The bad thing about the white is it gets dirty. It's why I didn't buy it to begin with. That's about all there is to shooting the video. Now, let's talk about the results of this promotion, because the bottom line is sales, right? And I want to discuss issues surrounding this with you. Now, I realize some of you don't have a product yet and are going, well, Marlon, how is this going to relate to me? But let me say this. You can take an affiliate product, record video with it, and sell it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have your own product you're doing a video for. And now there's two ways to do the videos. You can also do a Camtasia video to promote an affiliate product, or you can do a live video. The cool thing about live video now is people love watching it, but it's a little bit more, you know, personal. So I recommend the live video. Now, one thing when you shoot the video, you don't want a bright light behind you. That's why we shoot it against, you know, just the black or the white. You do not want any light behind you because it'll mess up the camera. Now, in terms of the results, our sales on this have not been astounding. They've been okay. Well, probably less than okay. But we're only at phase one. Phase two is going to go out sometime today whenever I get the rest of it. We're revamping or reworking or reusing, recycling the old Pimp My website. Some of you may remember that Matt did, where it's Pimp My Website. We have the picture of this pimp dude there and everything. My customers are kind of strange. Unless I sat there on the video and really broke down in detail all the benefits, which I didn't because I want to keep the video short. And maybe I should have taken the time to break down all the benefits of what we're going to do with the bonus and the time limit. Maybe I should have taken the time to do that. It seems like my customers, they like the video, but they buy more from text. But they like the video. They like the video a lot, but they buy more from text. So I need to combine them. Like, if I do an upsell that's a video alone, it will sell one quarter as good as if I put the video there, but then stick a sales letter under it. Now, part of that's I've conditioned my list to buy from sales letters because I write. Anyway, we're rolling out a sales letter today, kind of like a stage B. One of the issues I thought that wasn't strong on the promotion is I really didn't spell out what they were going to get with their Pimp Your Website thing that we were choosing 10 people for. What's the benefit to them? Exactly, specifically, what do they get? So I'm going to do that in the sales letter. Now, let's talk about kind of another level of video. We've been working for 3 weeks, maybe a month, on a video. That's going to be our new squeeze page video. And I want to give you, I'm just going to tell you the truth about what we're doing and levels that you can do. Because I understand some of you, you don't have a designer, and you're like, Marlon, how am I going to do this if I'm not a designer? Like people like Graphics Genie, at Graphics Genie, I think it's just graphicsgenie.com, they will do the video for you and the graphics on the squeeze page. Now, you have to pay for it, but their prices, it's under a G. Their prices, I think, are very reasonable. I guess the thing on it, from my perspective, is you really have to lay out what you want. Because the very first thing then they're going to come back to you with is, well, what do you want? You know, what's the copy? What does it say? Blah, 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 blah. Do you have any photos? Do you have video? You know, I mean, yeah. So you end up doing, you think at first you just pay them money and it's done. No. From my experience working with designers is, you really need to lay the frames out the way you want the video in PowerPoint. Or OpenOffice has like a little PowerPoint clone on it, or draw them out on paper and fax them, you know, or something. But you would think designers could just, now Danny is different. Danny's worked with me, so one reason I like employees. Danny's worked with me long enough now, Danny's my designer, he's worked with me long enough now that he's starting to learn what I like. And he's able now to more read my mind. And so, I mean, I still provide the content, the direction, and, hey, let's do this or that, and let's use this. Here's some pictures. Go grab some video from my stock photo, and that kind of thing. But I don't have to be quite as – I don't have to drill down so much like you do if you're hiring a freelancer to do something. Now, on the squeeze video, we're doing a very elaborate one, and let me tell you why. I don't know that we have to. I might could have just fired up Camtasia, done a video showing the results and all of that kind of thing, the proof, basically, and then get people to opt in. And we may even end up split testing that. But I wanted to do something that would last a long time and would be hard for, I don't want to say competitors to knock off, but just that would be what I call differentiated in the marketplace. So we really put a lot of effort into it, and I really wanted to hit a home run on it. I'm hoping we did. You never know in marketing. Some things work. Some things don't. My gut is it's going to work, and it's going to rock, and it's going to be awesome. Now, on that one, we did everything. In other words, we pulled in screen caps from my different accounts over the years and so forth. Some photos of stuff. We took photos from when I traveled around the world. We worked in photos. We got stock video footage off of istockphoto.com, and you just go in there and you search for video, I think. So we put in some stock video, Danny did. We used text that's, you know, the cool-looking text that you do in Photoshop. We got music tracks from several places. There's, I believe, Shockwave, S-C-H-O-C-K, shockwave-sound.com was one. I think Danny had found some stuff somewhere, royalty-free. Flashkit.com has sound. If you just search royalty-free sound on Google, there's lots of places. But anyway, we got a music track to it, and we tried to make the music rock. So that's really what I have to say about the squeeze video. Oh, I also shot live video. So then we mixed in with all of that, we also shot live video. So our goal is to be changing the visual, the frame, basically, like I think every 10 seconds. You know, we want it real fast moving, lots of different things happening, just action, 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 because it gets the person glued to watch it. So that was really our objective with it. I don't know. We'll see how it works. Now, the actual page design we're using on the Squeeze, Graphic Genie did that design just because I had Danny doing so much. We actually added an hour a day to Danny's work day. He's still part-time, but he's working one more hour a day just because there's so much to do. But Graphic Genie did the base design. Very talented designers, but like I say, since they don't know you and how you think, you really need to spell things out fairly in detail. If you can find sample websites, you can write all your copy, even try to lay it out in PowerPoint as much as you can. Or if you're a Photoshop hack, like, if you've just been through Design Dashboard, it's not that hard to lay some basic things out in Photoshop. You can kind of lay out some text. It's not hard. You click the text tool, and you type and set the font size. You put the text on a layer. Then you click the little new layer icon, and then you can stick your, you know, file open, stick your photo in there and drag and drop it onto your little canvas area. Use the transform tool and resize the photo. It's not that hard to lay out some things in Photoshop, or you can draw pictures and facts, again, just like I said. Or use a Wacom tablet, draw it out digitally, and give it to a designer that way. So we're going to see how this squeeze page works. It's the newer style where the video's on the left, the opt-in's on the right, headlined at the top, everything above the fold. You can see Dagan Smith's page that's not like ours is going to be, but it's kind of the concept at recruitlikecrazy.com. But you'll see a lot of squeeze pages that are being done this way. It is, I believe, like it's what's working the best right now. Video on the left, opt-in boxes, thingy on the right, headline at the top, killer headline. You know, so that's what we're doing on the video squeeze. We'll see how it works. Now, on this Halloween promotion, we'll see when I write the text today, and I'm hoping that I'm in the mood to, like, write some halfway decent text. We'll see how that converts. I am recycling it, so it's already worked once before, which could work for or against us. Maybe everybody's already seen it and will be burnt out on it, or we got new people on our list, so maybe they'll love it. Maybe we brought in new people with the crazy video that we did. Some of the psychology of doing a video like that also is, some of it just gets the attention of your list, in my opinion. Some of my friends would disagree with this. In my opinion, even if it doesn't convert, just killer, still gets the attention of your list. You know, it keeps their interest, keeps their attention. They're watching their email, oh, my God, what's Marlon going to do next, right? That's my theory behind it. This is not a complicated business for those. You know what? I understand how it is for a newbie. And here's why. When you first go in, there's so many things to learn, and it's just hard to boil things down to, like, a simple formula that'll work for you. And everybody's got different formulas. And time and effort simplifies things. And I'm just being, this is how I perceive life, all right? It may or may not be right, but let me just tell you how I perceive life. I think the more you approach mastery, the simpler things become in your mind. It becomes all crystal. It's kind of like The Matrix, when it was so complex and everything, and then one day he just kind of has this breakthrough, and it's like, oh, it's all so simple, right? Well, that's, I think, the path of mastery. I'm not saying it's easy. It's different between easy and simple. Like, I don't think right now things are easy in internet marketing because you have some really big players spending some really big bucks. I mean, I'm talking about behind the scenes. You all don't know this, but let me just tell you, because you guys and gals may not know this. Like, on some of these product launches, the big product launches, where it's, oh, that's cool, that must be great because everybody's promoting it. Yeah, everybody's promoting it because they want to win the Lamborghini. Hello. I don't know if you realize this. One of the big promotions recently, first prize for the affiliate was a Lamborghini. Others have been BMWs. Others have been a lot of really expensive stuff. And people, you know, someday legally there will be heat because of this, I'm sure. Someday this will be regulated by the FTC in America. I don't know about other countries. And the reason is because when people find this out, they're going to feel misled. Some people will, and deceived. Oh, I thought this was a great product, and they were just promoting because they wanted to win this Lamborghini, blah, blah, blah. There's an element of truth in it. It disturbs me that people don't look so much at the product as they do the social proof of the product. How many people are promoting it? How many people are promoting it? It has nothing to do with the product. It has to do with how good a networker the person is. You know, their perceived hotness in the marketplace at that moment in time, and often how big the affiliate prize is. It's craziness. I haven't done anything real big like that. I'm reticent on affiliate contests. We run affiliate contests, but small ones. Because there are laws in the U.S., and I won't go into them, but, you know, I've always tried to be, or hoped I am, very conservative legally. Maybe I've been too conservative. I don't know. But I always try to be very conservative legally. And I did check with a law firm on this, by the way. I didn't just jump out on my own and have an opinion on it. Let's see. Anyway, I was talking, though, I got off track. What I was trying to say is that it's very complex for a beginner. The more you really, the more experience you have, the more you're just able to boil things down to a formula and find the simplicity. For you, I'm not saying for anybody else, I'm saying that you find the formula that works for you. Everybody's different. Everybody's individual. For some people, like if you're anal retentive and you like repetition, you have great killer attention talent and you like repetition, then SEO positioning can just be killer for you, seriously. If you like repetition and you're really great, great, great at detail, go for it. I hate routine. I mean, writing one e-zine a week for me is a stretch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I skipped my video e-zine this week, and I hate that. I hate that. But, so much was going on, and routine is not my thing. So that, you know, and I used to do a whole lot of seminars. That's why we did the affiliate marketing. Now, I'm not speaking at so many seminars for a lot of reasons, one of which, the day after Corey died, a car in San Antonio ran a red light at 70. 2 seconds later, I would have been dead, but my knee was mucked up, and I'm just now back in the gym and able to, like, exercise. And so forth, and it's been, I think, 2 years, and my neck, I still have to go to the chiropractor like once or twice a week, and when I fly, I now have to hunt down a chiropractor, try doing that in a foreign country. I had to do it in the UK, I had to do it last time I was in UK, had to do it in Australia, I had to do it when I shot Next Internet Millionaire. That's a result of having been hit from behind like two or three times just in San Antonio, not to mention once or twice in Dallas. Jeez. So anyway, my point is, I don't draw the affiliate base I used to because I'm not speaking at seminars, which is the best way to recruit affiliates. There's other dynamics in here. I don't want to oversimplify it. But my point of this just is, so now we're branching out into other lead generation. It's why we're doing this killer squeeze. And, you know, and someone brought this up, and we're going to address the issue right now, is because it is an issue of, okay, Marlon, now you're doing this killer squeeze, and you're planning to get traffic. Now, what about... how's this squeeze going to fly with Google? The answer is, I don't know how this squeeze is going to fly with Google. For sure, somebody had posted this, I think, on the blog, and it's true. I guess Ryan Dice or Perry Belcher got slapped. Ben Hart, I guess, got slapped again. Poor Ben. And Google's like a tough server. First of all, banner advertising dwarfs, Google advertising in terms of total dollars by, like, I think billions. So the banner advertising, the banner ad availability is just massive compared to what you can do with Google. Google controls such a tight grip on that search market. I mean, you got Yahoo and you have MSN and you can work with them. But, you know, Google just controls such a huge part of that search market that they can set their own rules, law of supply and demand. And so they can be really difficult to work with. As far as I'm concerned, they are, and I really don't get them. I just don't get them. I understand they're doing it because they think it's best for the consumer, but I really think sooner or later they're going to piss off advertisers. I mean, advertisers right now are just waiting for somebody to come along with a really, really, really attractive advertising proposition. There's a problem with banners. The problem with banners is these idiots out there charge, a lot of them, a minimum of $5,000 or $10,000 just to test the banners. I do not get it. I just don't get it. Because let me tell you the facts about banners, okay? Take any name brand website that has banners. Any website that has banners, name brand or not. Don't care if you're talking about the biggest websites in the world down to the mom and pop. They're probably only selling out 30% of their banner inventory. 70% is unsold. 70% is unsold. I don't. So what do? Advertising networks buy up their remnant meaning the other 70% that can't sell because they can't sell it because they're trying to charge $10 to $15, usually $10 to $12 CPM, cost per thousand. To get your banner displayed 1,000 times, you've got to pay $10 to $12, which is outrageous. Very few direct response marketers can make money at 10 to 12 CPM, unless it's a highly targeted audience. So they take their other 70% they can't sell because they totally mispriced it. They sell it to the banner networks for what they should be selling it to begin with, for like a dollar CPM. Now, the banner networks turn around and sell it to the end consumer, to the advertisers, for about $2 to $3 CPM, which is what it should be priced at to begin with. It's about $2 or $3 CPM. You can make money at a dollar CPM. $2 you can probably make money, but it's tougher. $3 CPM is going to be probably real tough unless you've really got a really robust back end. The key to the whole thing is having a big enough back end that none of it matters. That's really the whole key. And I'll tell you how to do that in a second. But first, these banner networks, so they're going to sell these inventories off at $2 or $3 CPM, depending on what you negotiate. However, they typically want 5 to 10 G's. Now, the whole secret here is that you have this 72, you have this clause, it's 24-hour out clause that says within the first 24 hours, I think you can get, or you, within X, you can give them 24-hour notice and they'll stop running, right? And so what people do is they buy it, they sign the $10,000 agreement, they run it, the test, and if it's not monetizing after X hours, they contact the network and they shut it off. So this is the game. But for the small guy, that if they neglect to read a little clause in the contract and they're still on the hook for 5 or 10 G's, that could really suck. So this is the whole problem with banner advertising. There's huge, massive amounts of inventory out there, but finding that inventory ain't so easy. Affording it is what I mean. Because until you test, until you know you have a profitable sales process, you don't want to possibly... Now, you won't be on the hook for that 5 or 10 G's if you really learn how the contracts are and you really make sure that you know what you're doing. That's the thing. You got to really make sure you got an ironclad out clause there, you know. Now, so here's what people do. So what's the solution on banners? Well, you can test the banners on Google until you know you've got a winning banner. That's A. B, you can buy banners on AdBrite without having to spend $5,000 or $10,000. You can go on there and just pay-per-click on AdBrite, ADBRITE.com, and they're a very, 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 very large banner network with very large amounts of inventory. Let's see. Some other networks like Burst Media, I think, is $2,500 minimum. It's not 5 or 10 G's. A little bit more affordable. Now, you can also run your banners in forums. You can run your banners on blogs. Try to find other places, websites. You can sometimes buy banners on individual websites. And, yeah, you're probably going to have to pay more CPM. But if they're highly targeted, A, then you're probably going to make money. And then B, also... you get to find out if the banner works or not. I mean, the ideal scenario is you test the banner using Google traffic, either CPM or pay-per-click on Google. This is really the best approach. Just keep testing it on Google till you get something that works, and then you can roll it out on AdBrite. If AdBrite works, then start rolling it out other places. So that's banner advertising, and it helps get you out of the pay-per-click Google nightmare thing. Now, squeeze pages. Will my squeeze page work or not? I don't know. On Google. I don't know if it's going to fly. Let me tell you why I believe it will fly. All right? Two scenarios. Scenario one. They opt in and then they can download the free ebook that I'm writing. They can download a free ebook immediately. Now, I think this will fly by Google, and the reason is they did not have to confirm their email address to get access to that ebook, right? They got immediate access to the ebook without having to confirm their email address. I think Google has an issue with people having to confirm an email address in order to get access to the info that was promised in the ad. That's what I think. Now, I'm not Perry Marshall. I'm not the paperclip guru of the universe, but I have been studying it. So this is number one, is I think that they need to be not, they don't, you got to deliver what you're promising without that happen to confirm their email. But now follow me. Who cares? And let me tell you why. When they download the free ebook, free report, free audio, or free webinar, what do you think it is, pray tell? Well, don't you think it's probably your sales pitch? Disguised up, dressed up, put lipstick on it, put a wig on it, put a dress on it, made it look pretty, but it's a sales pitch. B, don't you think that at the beginning of that ebook or the beginning of the video, you tell and show people and push them to go confirm the email address? Yes. You do it right there in the freebie. Put it right at the front of the ebook. Screen caps. Here's how to go confirm your email before you go on to this stupid ebook. So what the heck? They opt in. There's the download link for the ebook right there. Now, I'm going to split test that versus your ebook's been sent to you by email. It will arrive in 10 minutes. Check your email in 10 minutes. In the meantime, read this, and there's your sales letter. Now, let me bring this off of mute and see if we have questions about what I've talked about so far before we talk about the back end. The people, recording this better turn out. This is really a great call. Really hoping this turns out. Okay, hold on. All right, everyone, if you can hear me now on the count of three, say yes. One, two, three.
Yes.
All right, great. All right, now, if you do have noise in the background or you got to put us on hold and have music on hold, that kind of thing, then push star six and you can mute us. The other participants would appreciate that so they can talk. All right. Who has a question about what we've discussed so far? Anyone? There are no wrong questions. There are no dumb questions. There are no stupid questions.
Marlon, this is Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
You mentioned, I heard you say something about the pay-for-click nightmare. Could you expand on it? Because how do you see it as a nightmare for small business, you know, folks?
Oh, the pay-per-click nightmare? Well, I don't remember the exact context when I was saying that in, but pay-per-click, here's the problem on pay-per-click. It's like recently, I mentioned Ryan Dice. His account was slapped. I think Perry Belcher's was slapped. Ben Hart, very, very large Google advertiser. Well, I don't know by their standards, by my standards. He's spending $25,000 a month, I think, 20, 25 G's a month on Google AdWords. Slapped. You know, in other words, one day you're making $100,000 a month. The next day you wake up and you look at your wife and you go, oh, honey, there's something I was forgetting to tell you. Overnight, Google turned off our account so we have $100,000 less to live on in the next 30 days.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, that's probably my definition of a nightmare.
Okay.
You know that $100,000 a month we have coming in, honey, and all of our mortgage obligations and those rent homes we bought? Oh, yeah, we ain't going to have no money this month to pay for any of the shit. So take the mobile home, take the boats, send the, let them repo everything. It's all gone, right? Because Google didn't like something. And you ain't even sure what it is they don't like. Half the time you can't even call anyone. You can't get a hold of anyone. You email them and you don't get... I emailed them and I got a response. It was a cut-and-paste response after 1 or maybe 2 weeks from India or wherever it was. Had nothing to do with my inquiry whatsoever. Now, that's a nightmare, in my opinion. Having said that, there's a flip side of Google. They got a whole lot of traffic, and you don't got to invest 5 or 10 G's to get the traffic. And it's targeted. So that's the good side of Google. A lot of people make an awful lot of money off, a lot of people make a lot of money off of Google. Ben Hart, I'm sure, has all of his Google stuff back up and running, but... And I haven't talked to Ben about it. I should probably email him. But I imagine he had to go through and, like, change everything. Change his landing pages. Change his whole systems. You know, and this is, like, it's a nightmare because, like, with direct mail. So I have a friend that left online dominantly. He was doing 100 G's a month net online, but he went offline to direct mail. Why? Well, I'm not saying direct mail is perfect, because there may be some laws going down about opt-in direct mail, as stupid and ridiculous as that would be. But overall, it's not like that you wake up overall in direct mail and it's like, oh, honey, the post office just decided today that you can't mail number 10 envelopes no more. You know, I mean, and that kind of thing happens every 30 to 60 day or 90 days like it does with Google. I mean, it seems like every 30, 60, 90 days, Google's changing something. It's like, I think it's hard for the advertiser on the one hand. On the other hand, again, targeted traffic, a lot of traffic, and once you figure it out and you get all your systems in place, and as long as they don't screw things up again, you know. But I mean, I think Perry Belcher had a campaign, his hot dog fan thing. It was in Ryan Dice's newsletter. It had been running, I think, for like 3 years. And then Google just slapped it. I had one, my sell letters campaign for push-button letters had been running for, I think, 3 years, and then they slapped it, and I just haven't mucked with it because it wasn't like it was a huge moneymaker anyway. Mostly, I just wanted to be there, my product to be there when people searched, because I didn't want my competitors stealing all the traffic. But it certainly ain't hands-off. And they keep changing the rules, and it's really annoying as heck to me. Because you get something that's working, and you work your butt off to get something that works, and then they change the rules. And then you got to go out and buy more ebooks and more info products to find out how to undo the latest slap. And they keep doing this like every 90 days. I think they like, I almost feel like they like mucking with small advertisers, and they're trying to get the really big advertisers or something who use advertising agencies. I honest to God just don't know what their motivation is. So anyway. Fortunately, there are banner ads in forums, there's text ads, blog ads, there's a whole lot of other advertising venues out there. The only issues is testing them at a reasonable price, and Google is still probably the best way to test those banner ads and your inventory. Very good question, Andrew, very good question. Who else has a question here?
Corey,
all right.
Going back to how to do a video. I have a video camera. I'm not really a technical guy. How can I find out if I can use this camera? It's a couple of years old. It has tape. How could I find out if I could use it to record a video online rather than getting
I would say that the chances are 95% you can. What's really more important than that camera is the lighting. You need good lighting and you need a good background.
That is without a doubt. Okay.
Yeah, now, you probably have a one-chip consumer camera, and a three-chip camera is going to give you better quality. You can buy three-chip called 3CCD cameras, 3CCD, three chips. You can buy the three-chip cameras, I think at Best Buy for like $250 now, and maybe even cheaper. Yeah, and of course you can buy them off eBay even cheaper than that. However, in promo dashboard, I give the URL. I believe it's theflipvideo.com or something like that. Flip Video Guy, or I can't remember.
Right.
In promo dashboard, on one of the video icon, I give you a link to a guy who does a daily video broadcast thing using the Flip Video camera, which is a $100 camera.
Right.
And I link to his website and he shows his whole little setup. His video would look so much better if he used light boxes instead of the Home Depot light. We actually filmed the initial upsell video, and we showed how we did it in the promo dashboard using one of those Home Depot things. The problem is that light is real harsh, and it doesn't make you look warm. These light boxes, I mean, you could literally throw up two light boxes, good background, put the Flip Video on a tripod, and I bet come out with some pretty darn decent quality. Now, you got to have a decent sound thing. And let me look on the Flip. I don't think the Flip has a ability to feed in a mic, which is a problem. Let me look here. I don't think you can feed a mic into it.
No, it doesn't.
No, I don't believe you can. So that is the issue on it. The nice thing is, now, the other thing on your your video camera is if it does not have a mic input, again, it's kind of a deal killer because then you've got to use the mic. And you're going to be better off with a three-chip versus a one-chip, but you don't need to go any higher than a three-chip camera. Although, the new HD cameras, there's upsides and downsides. The downside is they compress the video, so you actually lose some quality when you put it in the computer. Not all computers can edit them. Not all software can edit them, only the most recent stuff. You know, we shot the video, the Halloween video, marlinsanders.com/Halloween. That's a 3CCD, 3-chip camera on tape. Stuck it in the computer. Danny edited it. Looks great. The key thing is the lighting. The lighting is actually, I think, even more critical than the camera. Does that help, Andrew?
Perfect. Thank you, Marlon.
All right. I want to discuss real quick the back end before I get cut off again. My gosh. The back end. So we've been discussing the pay-per-click advertising and the other advertising. The whole critical thing about all this is the back end. You can't afford to advertise unless you have a back end. So you got to have upsells, you got to have downsells, and you got to have software that does that. If you use the One Shopping Cart, you go to optimizeyourcart.com, and that software works with One Shopping Cart and lets you do some upsells and downsells. We have stuff that's custom written. There is no perfect solution out there yet for doing upsells and downsells. I'll tell you that right now. There is different software programs, though. Are different software programs around that let you do it. You know, some of the butterfly marketing scripts, you know, I think the thing Mike Fossame had lets you do it. You know, if you keep looking around, you will find stuff. I think maybe the JV Fantasos manager, there are solutions out there. You know, the easiest one is that optimizeyourcart.com, but I think that only works with One Shopping Cart, which is also automateyourwebsite.com. That's my private label. But anyway, the whole point is, if you can do upsells and downsells at the point of ordering, by the time you're done with the upsells and downsells, you probably erase the cost to get that customer. So everything else you make off of them is profit. The other thing I will say is that a real low entry price product is likely a good idea. Ben Hart does a dollar offer. I'm going to be doing a dollar offer or something for $27. I read a thing by Ryan Dice the other day that you should make a mental note of, that good price points on that first offer are like $27, $47, and $97. I would not disagree with that. He doesn't like $37. He doesn't like $67. We sold Amazing Formula originally at $67 for different reasons that don't apply so much in the marketplace now. At the time, it was very good positioning. I also feel if you go over $50, you probably get a better quality of customer, but if you're going from cold traffic, over 50 is a top sell. I would do like 17, 27, 37 are my thoughts. And then you do upsells and downsells. And if you listen to Dagan Smith interview, I can't remember if we went into his back end or not. I think maybe we did. He does a thing where, you know, you get the free CD, but you pay the shipping and handling. Then you get a $250 offer. If you don't buy that, it's a downsell to $50. If you do buy that, you get, I think, even another more expensive offer. Then you get direct mail follow-ups offering you a $500 thing, and then he flips the leads over to a phone sell center that sells a big coaching program. And that's really his system. So it's a very robust back end. So that's the whole key to being able to buy media. Otherwise, you're limited to free advertising methods or affiliate programs. Affiliate programs are great if you can get people to promote for you. You're in niches, markets, where you can find people who will go to bat for you. Internet marketing is so freaking competitive now, it's tough. Yannick makes fun of me for saying that freaking competitive, but it really is. You know, in other markets, it's not so much a deal. Affiliate marketing is great. I mean, you don't pay until after you get the traffic and the sales. You know, it's hard to beat that, you know, just tough to beat it. Yeah, and there's other forms of free marketing. The Evergreen traffic system absolutely positively works, but you need to like to write. You know, if you like to write, the Evergreen traffic system is great. It's a blogging, basically. But it's not just blogging. You do blogging, article marketing, and then combining in what's called the RSS stuff. And that whole little mini dashboard we did on the Evergreen system that we have now is just gold. Just, in my opinion anyway, gold. We worked pretty hard on it. I think it rocks, especially for $97. All right, before we wrap up this call or get cut off again, who else has comments or questions you would like to ask today? Was this useful? Was it helpful? Do you have any open loops about today, something that's unsettled in your mind, or was this useful to you?
Hey, Marlon, I just got confused on something. When you said 27, 47, and 97 as price points, was that for the first upsell or was that for the initial product?
Initial offer.
Initial, okay.
Well, yeah, but see, it kind of depends on your model because, like I say, Ben Hart leads with a dollar offer. Dagan leads with a CD for like $5 or $6. And then his next offer is $250. And then he downsells back to like the $47 or the $50. That's one way to do it. Sean Casey, huge marketer with cold traffic. Sean does an initial $27. You opt in to get something free. Like right now he's running banner ads for a free business in a box. Like, how do you resist? It's a whole business in a box, and it's free. So you opt in. Now, immediately, you go to a PowerPoint video where Sean literally reads off the PowerPoint slides, reads them for like 20 minutes, and sells you, at the end of 20 minutes, a $27 something or the other, right? And I think it's got forced continuity in it, meaning you also get a free 30-day trial of some membership site, and then you start getting billed after that. So he does 27 with leads with a free offer. Ben Hart leads with a free ebook and then does the dollar offer, 14-day trial, and you go into recurring billing after that. No other offers. Dagan hits them with upsells, downsells, phone sales, direct mail. But he's using Infusionsoft software, which is a very complex software, in my opinion. You know, he had to pay, to get his upsells and downsells, he paid $7,500 to have it custom programmed. Most people don't have the $7,500, but he made it back the first week because his traffic is so gigantic. Is that useful or helpful to you?
Yeah, that's terrific. Thank you.
All right. Does this turn any lights on for anyone? Does it seem overwhelming to you? Does it seem simple? Does it seem complicated? Does it seem too common sense? Does it open your eyes, Annie?
Certainly opens my eyes. The stumbling block that I have is just all the technical stuff. The conceptual stuff is, you know, how you work it.
Okay. Well, do you have all our dashboards?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Which one are you working on right now?
I'm just working on the promo.
On promo dashboard. Are you getting stuck on technical issues within promo dashboard?
No, it's slow sledding for me.
Okay. Slow sledding is okay. You just let me make this suggestion. Even if you can't do an icon a day, you've got to keep stacking. Keep stacking those skills and those technical abilities every day and every week. And let me give you the perfect analogy for this. You guys, do any of you follow UFC fighting where they kind of fight with almost open hands? Called Ultimate Fighting Championship, UFC? None of you do. Okay. It's called mixed martial arts, where they don't just box. They do wrestling. They do Muay Thai. They do it all. Well, there's a guy there that's almost unbeatable. His name is George St. Pierre. He's in Canada. George St. Pierre, though, lost some fighter to a guy named Matt Hughes, who is like a world-class wrestler. What George St. Pierre did, and you saw this happen over time, was he just kept increasing skills. He just kept adding to his arsenal. He kept adding kicks. He kept adding this. He kept adding that. He got a little bit stronger. And in the last two fights, he just whipped Matt Hughes, just whipped him. But, I mean, it's like he just became this machine. He had, like, all of these weapons in his arsenal, so much more than Matt did. He just overpowered him. I don't know if you understand this analogy, but what I'm saying is, that if you keep stacking on skills and stacking on these technical abilities, this knowledge, pretty soon you become a force. Now, it's not overnight, but if you just keep plugging away at it, it will add up eventually. You just, whether you believe it, whether you don't, whether you think it's going to work, whether you don't, no matter what you feel like, you keep stacking value. You keep adding in abilities, do something every week, increase your abilities every week, and sooner or later, you know, you're a powerhouse. Sooner or later, you're a powerhouse. Does that make sense?
Total.
Now, in addition to that, make wise use of resources. Meaning, sometimes, you know, you can speed up your progress by spending a little money on Rent-A-Coder to get some help with something. There are webmaster forums. I think webmasterworld.com, or search Google for Webmaster World, is like one of the biggest webmaster forums. Site, Point, has forums with very accomplished webmasters who can help on technical issues. You've got a lot of real technical people over on warriorsforum.com or warriorsforum.com. You know, they're all internet marketers. You've got quite a few technical people over there who can help out on stuff. Just be careful over there, because you have people who have their own agendas to push, meaning they want you to be following their system, or they want to sell you a system for whatever their dealio is. But if you can avoid all that stuff, noise, there's also a lot of help over there and a lot of pretty good people who sell their services cheap. Webmaster World, some of these webmaster forums. You can also go to just big-boards.com, type in webmaster, and you'll find plenty of forums and plenty of people who will help you free a lot of times. Eventually, after you have money coming in, you hire someone to do the technical stuff. But the problem is, in the beginning, you don't really have the money, so you got to learn it yourself. And I don't – other people disagree with me on this point. Other people are just like, oh, outsource it all. And I don't feel that way. I hate learning the technical stuff. Like I said, the business is simple but not necessarily easy. That's why we've done the dashboards. I'm not saying they're flawless or they're perfect. But compared to anything else out there, and at the price point, they're pretty darn good. And frankly, at almost any price point, there's very few things that break stuff down in so much detail. There are some other good products out there, and I won't say there's not, but, you know, maybe every little small minute detail isn't covered, you know, we really put a lot into these, and it covers most all your bases for you. But, yeah, I hate technical stuff. That's why I hire people. But in the beginning, I did everything myself. I still know a lot of stuff. Now, my friend Yannick would hire people. He hired people from the outset. But, you know, he probably had the money to hire them. You know, I mean, I don't know his full circumstances coming into this, but his dad was like a cosmetic surgeon. You know, he had money in the family, went to good school. You know, I think he had some things in his favor going there, if you know what I'm saying. Not to take anything away from Yanni, absolutely brilliant guy, but still. I say keep plugging away. And if you need some help, get it off of Rent-A-Coder, get it off of Warriors Forum, or get it off some of the Webmaster Forums. Don't allow yourself to get stuck. And just keep adding on skills. 1 week, learn to do Camtasia. 1 week, learn to do Sonic Memo and put Flash Audio on your website. You know, one week, learn a little bit of Photoshop Elements. You know, just keep building. Just like, and again, my example of George St. Pierre. You should go to UFC.com and search for George St. Pierre and Matt Hughes fight. And they did like 3 or 4 fights. And you can see the progression. And you can visually see it as he's adding to his arsenal. Most inspiring thing I've ever seen. Just inspiring. Just inspiring. Because that's what it's all about. I mean, and at some point, you're unstoppable. That's a great feeling. What I notice is that people that don't succeed, they like try a couple things that doesn't work out, and then they just get discouraged. And they don't keep stacking ability. And they just quit and go to the forums and complain about how it's a scam and it don't work. So, all right, before we wrap this up, anybody else, questions, comments, open loops, you need a kick in the butt, you need some motivation, you want to share some success, any comments, any more feedback here?
Marlon, this is Dan. I've got a quick question from another call. You mentioned a place that where you could go and look at other people's offers to get ideas for your own.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get the URL for that. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I'm just trying to remember it off the top of my head. It's the place you go to look at all the CPA offers.
And the problem is I don't think I have it bookmarked right now. I've got it, like, somewhere.
Is it Offer Vault?
Oh, yeah, that's probably it. Let me look here. Offer Vault, without the S, offervault.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and the whole thing there is just it allows you to see people who are paying basically per lead. In other words, they're paying, like, here's what Dagan does. So Dagan pays $1.30 a lead. In other words, for the name and email address, he's paying out $1.30. And other people pay out up to $20 or $30. Now, if they're paying that per lead, you know they got something going on the back end, so now you can go in there and you can study their back end. Sean Casey's Business in a Box is on there. Just type in Sean Casey.
Okay.
You can see his front-end Business in a Box opt-in. You can opt-in. You can go through his whole 20- or 30-minute video selling you the $20.7 thing and the forced continuity, and then you can join that, and you can get his daily emails and see how every single day he sends you an email for a new affiliate program.
Okay, great.
Sean's a monster at traffic because he's on these CPA networks, and he's monetizing it at the point of the sale. Force Continuity, his own membership site, and then daily emails promoting affiliate programs. So you see, it's very hard for Sean not to pay to be able to pay per lead because his front-end payout, I don't know what his front-end payout on that $27 thing is, but it may even be more than $27. And the reason is because his monetization is so strong. In other words, he's selling you a bunch of stuff. Who else has question, comment, feedback, open loop? Problem. Unsure about something, uncertain about something, lack direction. Anyone?
Marlon, who do you recommend for CD or DVD manufacture or duplication?
Well, I believe Kunaki.com does that stuff. And when you're starting out, Kunaki, it's what, K-U-N-A-K-I? .com. They're totally awesome, and the reason is because you don't have to buy inventory from them. It's all on demand. They charge a little bit more, but boy, is it worth it. What sucks about going with a regular duplication house until you really have cranked up your sales is like they're like, okay, well, first of all, you've got to have whatever design you want on there. We got to put that on there, and we got to screen print like 500 or 1,000 at a time. So now you're into it already $500 or $1,000, and now you got $500 or $1,000 of those stupid things sitting there on the shelf, and then you find out you're going to sell two of the products. Your mom and your sister are going to buy it. And you're like, dang it! Right? And then, like, now you got another idea. Now you got another $500 or $1,000 going down the drain. God, it sucks. Kunaki? You throw it up there, it's an online interface. You sell one, they ship one. It don't get any better than that.
Right.
When you're starting out. Now, after your sales are cranking, yeah, you can go to a regular duplication and fulfillment house, and there's plenty of them out there. I think discopy.com is a big one. And you can get better prices, lower fulfillment probably, blah, 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 blah. But when you're starting out, man, Kunaki rocks.
Okay.
Who else? Well, I hope that this video thing does something in your brain because, any of you can shoot video. You do not have to be a rock star to shoot video. Now, if you speak in a monotone and you look somewhat close to a dead person, then, yeah, don't do it. But if you have a little bit of speaking ability and you can just relate halfway decent to your target market, it's not some huge investment. You got two lights, you got a little screen thingy and these two little stands and a basic camera mic. Then you got to have your editing software. We use, you can either use Sony Vegas for PCs or on Macs. I think Danny uses an expensive program called After Something. That's not cheap, I'll be honest. You can also use Final Cut Express, and that's fairly inexpensive. And that's about it. That's about it. You can also just, as far as the final production on it, when you're starting out, I would probably take that and hire somebody rent a coder, Elance, get a freelancer, and have them do the final production on the video is what I'd personally do, because trying to learn to do that video stuff is a learning curve that's longer than a week. I mean, to learn to do that stuff, it's probably a 30-day, 3-4-week learning curve to learn to do it pretty good. It's not, like, impossible. You know, it's 30 days. You could learn it in December and by January be doing some pretty decent video. You know what I'm saying? But still, it's longer than a week learning curve. The problem on it is that you farm it out, then they don't come back with what you want. Now you probably got to pay more money. And they probably charge you double what they should be charging to do it. I hate that stuff. That's why I like to hire people off of Craigslist. Actually, no, I'm going to change it. If you really want to have your video edited, go on Craigslist if you've got it in your city and get somebody local that you can then work with on projects over time, and they'll be less likely to rape you on the prices. All right. Okay, I hope this call helps everyone. You know, the traffic comes down to your front end, your back end, and being able to pay for it or doing affiliate program stuff. Is your best source of free traffic that does not cost you up for absolutely 100% is affiliate programs. Unless you're in internet marketing, and it still may be in internet marketing, your JVs and everything, but it's just a lot more complex game. I'm not enjoying playing that game anymore, so we're doing other stuff for traffic, you know. I don't, you know, it's half dozen one way or the other. But listen, I want to thank all of you for being on this call, and I hope it's useful to you. I hope it's helpful. I want you to go out and have a good 2 weeks and report back to me. Take something that you learned today. Just something. Take one thing out of this call you got today and act on it. One thing. Don't care what it is. Take one thing, act on it, and report back in 2 weeks. Just say, here's what you did. When we open the call, when I open it up, you know, say, Marlon, I just want to give you quick feedback on last week. Here's what I did. Just do something. Anything. Pick one thing. All right. Thank you all for being on this call. We will be getting the recording out to everyone. And I will be talking to all of you in 2 weeks. And until then, go out and kick some butt. Bye, everyone.